In your Bible to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. I want to share with you something that God gave me on Monday morning. Our God's so good. His grace is so good. I shared part of this with Sunday school. This past Monday morning, I've got to get up pretty early anymore to have my prayer time with God before I do anything else. And God led me to the book of Mark. And I'm not sure exactly why, but I tried to get through the entire book. I don't think I finished the book till later that day. But God especially directed me at the text that we're going to share with you. In fact, He gave me a song. I might even share that song with you. Had to change the words a little bit, and actually I've got a little notebook here where I write verses that I'm meditating on, and prayer requests and things, and I actually have the song written here. I rewrote it a little bit on Tuesday night, little did I know that that's exactly, God gives you ahead of time what you need if you're walking with Him. I hope you have a walk with Him. In Mark chapter number 4, if you're able to stand with me, you stand as we read verse number 35 through 41. The same day when the even was come, He said unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as He was, in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship. Is it hinder or hinder?
Hinder.
I'm going to ask the hinder part. I always want to say hinder. So I said it right the first time, didn't I? Wow, I just impressed myself. But now I lost my spot here. I got so excited about that. He was in the hinder part of the ship and asleep on a pillow. And they wake Him and say unto Him, "Master, carest Thou not that we perish?" And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And He said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" You can have a seat, if you will, in the main part of our text I put up there on the screen. And actually, that picture is something that I like to be outdoors. If you know me, you know that. My wife tells people anything that can be done outside, that's what he likes. But a few years ago, I was riding a bicycle early in the morning and came across that beautiful sunrise with the lightning and everything, and actually stopped for a few minutes and got that picture with my phone, if you can believe that. I thought of that picture when I was looking at this verse today and thinking of the message this morning, peace in the midst of the storm. Thank God that He gives us peace in the midst of the storm. Now, the text we read in Mark's Gospel can also be read. The same events can be read of Matthew chapter number 8 and Luke chapter number 8. I won't take time to go there, but I will mention that when you compare especially the synoptic Gospels, they cover a lot of the same things, but they point out different things in that story. For example, the Gospel of Matthew, it says Jesus entered into a ship and His disciples followed. In Matthew, it says that He rebuked the disciples before He rebuked the storm. And it's in reverse order. That tells me that, well, one's right and one's wrong. No, they're both right. He probably rebuked the disciples and then rebuked the storm and then rebuked the disciples again. It's only recorded once before the storm and once after the storm. In the book of Luke, the sea that they're crossing is referred to as a lake. And here it's referred to as a sea, the Sea of Galilee. And that lake or sea has been called by different names as well in the Bible. You say, well, there's a mistake. And no, there's no mistakes in the Bible. In reality, that lake is a sea. It's much like nearby us, the closest sea to us is something we call a lake, Lake Michigan. The Great Lakes are actually seas. By definition, the difference between a lake and a sea is either large enough or deep enough, or it's surrounded by geographic, maybe mountains or something, that on that sea, it creates its own weather pattern. And if you're familiar with the weather in this part of Illinois, sometimes, especially when you get close to Chicago, the weather is very much affected by the Sea of Michigan, though we call it Lake Michigan. I'm a little geeky when it comes to that stuff, so I just thought I'd mention that, because there's no mistakes in the Bible. And also, in Luke, he uses the word, we are in jeopardy. That's not talking about a game show, all right? It says that that means we're in peril. We're in danger. The end is here. It's about over. We're facing certain death is what the word jeopardy means. Now, that's not really what it means when we think of the game show either, but that's what that word means. Now, in Mark, notice that Jesus suggested to the disciples, let us pass over to the other side. And also in Mark, he describes how he sent away the multitude. And only in the Gospel of Mark does it mention that there were other little ships that went with him. Jesus was on, only this word is used in the Gospel of Mark in the hinder part of the ship. We'll show you that in a little bit. But a lot of you, most of you, are aware of this. And I said earlier that God gave me this chapter for a number of... I had to spend time in this book, did kind of a personal Bible study on the book of Mark for myself this week. Not really intending to share it with anybody. But God focused my attention on this particular story. And then Wednesday night, a lot of you were here. We were aware, I always am on Wednesday night, feel out of place if I'm not there. At prayer time, we read a letter from one of our missionaries. And I think right when I was reading that letter, because I didn't see, my wife stepped out. If I would have saw her, I just would have thought, well, she's upset at me about something again. So, no, I'm just kidding. She went out and we took some prayer requests, and before we went to prayer, I happened to look at my phone. I have it shut off, and I just moved it out of the way, and I saw there was a message from my wife. It just said, come home. So I went home and found her not in a good place, but she was not feeling well at all, and I'm thinking of a heart attack. Is what my first thoughts were, I said, "Do you want to go to that?" No, I'm fine. Just go back to church, and I'll be okay. And I said, "Well, I'm sending somebody back there to be with you." And one of my kids said, "Well, I can't believe that you went to church." I said, "Well, that's what she said to do." So, all right, I'm an obedient. No, I'm just kidding. And by the way, we were like, God's in control of everything. And I got home after church, and he said, you know, thank God for Dr. Google. Huh? You look up Google, and she said, every symptom of a heart attack is on there. Now, she's had for years heart palpitations. That's a fun word to say, isn't it? Mostly caused by me. But usually you just kind of cough, and it goes away. But this one wasn't going away, and it was a very painful thing. Make a long story longer, no, short. We went to the emergency room that night, and after midnight, she got checked into a room, and they came in and looked at all the symptoms and like all the lifestyle things that would cause such a thing she's never been a part of, and there's no reason, a rhyme or reason for this, and we've always been big on eating right and exercising, which that'd be a good lesson for some folks to learn. And there's no reason why something like this would happen. So they said, well, we don't really think it was a heart attack, but we're going to check everything. And sure enough, they came back and said, yes, you definitely had a heart attack. Of course, you hear that, and all those things go through your mind. I eventually came home late that evening. I had to do my my other job I had to take care of that morning and run a route and got back later and went up and they did the scope thing and found what they found. I won't go into all the details, but praise the Lord, God worked everything out. If you're going to have a heart attack, that's a good heart attack to have. And they didn't need anything other than medication to control things, and I won't go any farther than that in the details. My wife said, you're not going to talk about that today, are you? Yeah, just because she's here, I'm embarrassing her. So, but she's doing fine. All the things that go through your mind. I was thinking of just a year ago when I went through surgery, and you hear those words, cancer. You think, well, you start planning your funeral, to be quite honest with you. And by the way, I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm longing to be there. If I can go right now, I'd go right now. If God, I want to, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Some of us, that verse is real. And we've lived that way. I'm looking forward to heaven. I've had a number of loved ones that recently went to heaven, our heart breaks for them, but we sorrow not as others that have no hope. We're able to, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but in reality, we live in such an artificial world today. I call it the Disney world that we live in today. The internet world, where nothing's real anymore. Life and death are real. Death is a part of life, and it's just a reality. We realize any time the Lord could take us home. But I was just thinking of this verse, and actually Monday and Tuesday, long before the events took place this week, how God gives us peace in the midst of the storm. I look back over life and see all the storms that God has brought us through and how He gives us peace in those storms. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship in troubled sea, Thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. When I'm weary in the battle, stand by me. When my friends despise, forsake me, stand by me. When the hosts of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, Thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. When my flesh is worn and sickly, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, O Thou lily of the valley, stand by me. When this world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, Thou who rulest wind and water, Thou who never lost a battle, O Thou lily of the valley, stand by me. Father, thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for Your ever-present Holy Spirit for the child of God. Thank You for the Word of God that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Oh, God, that we would learn the value of hiding God's Word in our heart that we might not sin against You. Thank You for the peace that You give in the midst of the storms of life. And I know there are folks in here today that have gone through many great storms and weathered many storms. And God, I pray that they have grown in their relationship with You and sensed Your presence in that storm. And all of us will face the various storms in our life. God, that our relationship with You would be real is our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to look in this scripture this morning. And I'm just going to give you a simple outline when you talk about peace in the midst of the storm. By the way, again, I jotted down that words of that song. In fact, I tore a page out of here because I thought I'm going to change the words a little bit. Didn't want the scribbles there and added some things to it. On Tuesday night, didn't know that God was going to be singing that to me all week. Thank God that He gives peace in the midst of the storm. And the first thing I want to notice in our text, and we're going to stick in Mark chapter number 4 this morning. I mentioned some things that we see in Matthew and Luke's Gospels that Mark doesn't point out, and things that he points out, we're going to see that other Gospels did not point out. But first of all, I want you to notice that storms come to everyone. Every one of us will face or have faced tremendous storms in our life. Now, these storms are all different. No two storms are alike. In this world, again, where everything's got to be so dramatic, storms have got to have names today. And they've got to have all the statistics with the storms. And it's a storm, all right? Everyone's different. What's the big deal? We don't have to name the storms and blame it on global warming or blame it on whoever the president is or blame it on whatever we want to. Storms come. There's not anything we're going to do about that. But notice this. When you think of storms coming to everyone, I'm talking, it doesn't matter if you're saved or lost, you're going to face storms in your life. Notice in verse number 35, that Jesus led them into the storm. Look at what He said in verse 34. The same day when even was come, He said, let us pass over to the other side of the sea. You don't suppose Jesus knew what the weather's going to be like? He controlled the weather as seen by this passage of Scripture. He knew there was a storm coming. Of course, the best forecast of their day could never have predicted the storm, but He knew it was coming. And again, a sea is a body of water that a storm can come up, and they still do come up literally out of nowhere. And the Sea of Galilee, as the Scripture usually refers to this place as. The storms come to everyone. And most people, I've noticed this, when storms come, most people would rather walk away from that storm. In fact, in verse number 36, notice when they had sent away the multitude. Now, earlier, Jesus had chosen His 12 disciples. And just for a time reference, the events here took place about 1 year into Jesus' ministry. Just before this, He chose out of all the disciples, all of His followers, He chose 12 disciples to be with Him. And they really weren't with Him all of the time. During the next half a year or maybe the next year, they would kind of come and go. But when we read the Scripture, we don't always see that. There were times that a number of disciples turned and walked no more with Him. He just named the 12 disciples, and there were many other followers, and many had flocked to hear Him, preach and to see His miracles. But He sent the multitude away. And then it says, and they took Him. Now, other Scripture says that He took them. I'm not sure who took who. Huh? They went together, nonetheless. In verse number 36 also, they took Him as He is. That's an interesting little phrase. In other words, they're being real with God. When you're in the midst of the storm, don't be afraid to tell God you're afraid. Don't be afraid to talk to God. He's a real person. He's not some imaginary figure out there somewhere. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship. And some, I notice this, and only Mark's gospel points this out, that I see it so clearly here. when storms coming to everyone, some will face the storm all alone. My heart goes out to those that have faced the storms of life without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 36. It says, and there were also with him other little ships. Other little boats were going alongside, but Jesus wasn't in those ships. He was in this one with the disciples. In other words, that storm came. We're not told of the fate. I assume that all of those boats made it safely to the other side. Maybe some of them didn't. They were smaller ships. They wouldn't have done as well in the storm as the one Jesus was in. But most important, Jesus wasn't in the ship with them. They were lesser or little ships, or lesser or more insignificant ships is what the word little means. And notice in verse number 37, there rose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. That's not a good sign. That's not a good thing when your ship is full of water. It's all right for the boat to be in the water, but the water to be in the boat, that's not a good thing. And it's all right when the boat's on top of the water, but when it's under the water, that's not a good thing. When it's overcome, and sometimes we get to places in our life where we're overcome with water. The storms come, and how sad it is that many try to weather the storm without the Lord. And I encourage you today, if you say, well, I'm not going through a storm now, it'll come. They'll come. It's good to have a relationship with Him now. What I learned this week is what a blessing it is. And I look back in that sweet time of fellowship that I had with the Lord on Monday morning and how real it was with the events that happened later in the week. And coming home from the hospital to an empty house and realizing my wife's up in and I knew by then, and we were trusting the Lord the whole time, but I realized that it's not as bad as what it could have very easily been. But I think of so many that have come home to an empty house that will never be filled again. And so many that have lost a loved one. And your mind starts thinking of all those things. And a lot of you folks I was praying for late into the night and thinking when it becomes more real to you, you start to realize what others have gone through, the storms that they've weathered. And thank God that He's with us in those storms. And I can't imagine what it's like to go through those storms without a relationship with Him. Now, the second thing I want you to see, not only the storms come to everyone, but the best place to be is in the ship with Jesus. That's the best place to be. There's no other place I'd want to be than in the ship with Jesus. Someone, you've heard people say that fellowship is defined as a bunch of fellows in the same ship. It's good to be in the same ship with Jesus. It's good to be in fellowship with Him. Now look at verse number 38. And He was in the hinder part of the ship. The hinder part. Todd says wherever it is. I'll say this, the stern of the ship, all right? Understand that. The bow is the front, the stern is the back, and the port is the side you get in and out, and the starboard is the side that you look at the stars on the other side. So, and even on a horse, I learned from my father-in-law that I ain't a cowboy, and you get on a horse from the port side also. So, I didn't know it made a difference. Well, it does. He was asleep. And by the way, this doesn't mean that he's not concerned. I mentioned earlier that Mark is the only gospel that tells us where he was when he was asleep. The other ones say he was asleep, but this one says he is at the stern, the back of the ship. All right? Now, if you've gone in a canoe with me, I always make sure I go over this because a lot of people don't know, and even people that know, you see two people in the canoe, it's fun to take teenagers in a canoe, especially girls. Because whoever's in the canoe, they're running into trees and running into the banks and everything. They're yelling at the person in front, "You need to steer better!" The person in the front has no control of where that boat's going. A ship is controlled by the stern or what's in back. The rudders are in the back. The person in the back of the canoe is who determines the direction of that canoe. I find it interesting that Jesus was not only asleep, but he was in the back. Showing us again, he's in control of this thing. He knows exactly what's going on. He's not surprised by the storm. He's not overcome. He's completely calm, so relaxed that he's still asleep. Yet he's in control. And what a blessing it is to know that he's in control. That he is first and foremost my Savior. That I've trusted him for salvation. I know that I'm going to heaven not because I'm good. I used to trust my goodness. I used to trust my religion. But then I found out from the Bible that there's none righteous, no, not good. There is none that understandeth. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God. And I'm lost and dying without a Savior. And I humbled myself and I think of the time often when I fell on my face and cried out, "God, be merciful unto me," as they sang earlier, "a sinner." And now I'm still a sinner, but I'm a sinner that's saved by grace. And some folks say, "Well, I'm no longer a sinner, I'm a saint." No, I'm still a sinner. I'm just saved by grace. And it's His goodness. And thank God for salvation. And now that when I know I'm saved, when I leave this world, I know that I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. There's no question. And the more I get into this book, the more He confirms my faith through that relationship that we established a long time ago, 40-some years ago, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, and every day gets sweeter walking with Him. Now, some folks get saved, and then they don't want anything to do with God. And what a tragedy that is. Because when you weather the storms of this life, you're all alone. Sure, you're going to end up in heaven, but you're going to face a lot of heartache, a lot of loneliness, a lot of pain that you ought not to have to face all alone. Jesus is there with you. We can walk in fellowship and obedience to Him. We can walk according to this book. We can begin each day on our knees before God and in this book hearing from God and communicating with Him and getting direction for that day. And every day get sweeter walking with Him. The best place to be in this ship of life is in the ship where the Lord Jesus Christ is at the controls, where He's in control. He'll still bring you through the storms, but He'll go through those storms with you. He's not going to turn you loose and say, "There you go, buddy. Go on." Now, if we walk away from Him, we'll do that, but He's there with us, and He wants to be alongside of us. The best place to be in the ship is with Jesus, is in the ship with Jesus. And then thirdly this morning, we need to learn to fear God and not the storm. Fear God and not the storm. Now, Jesus, of course, rebuked His disciples for their lack of faith. I don't know about you, but that's an everyday occurrence for me. Oh, if you would only believe. If you would only have trusted me more. You say, "Well, we trust Him some." You know, isn't it amazing? We trust God to get us to heaven, but we won't trust Him for today. We won't trust Him to meet the needs that we have today. We won't trust Him to get us through the circumstances today, but we'll trust Him to get us to heaven. That will get us to the other side, but what about in the middle of the sea when the storm comes? To learn to trust Him. But oftentimes we get looking around and fearing the storm. Another place where Jesus calmed the waters, and that was a different storm altogether, where Peter came walking on the water. We might be familiar with that. And Peter said, "Lord," and they thought it was a ghost. He wasn't there with him, and he came walking across the water to them, and they said, "Lord, it's a spirit." I mean, we're done. Here comes the angels to take us to heaven. I don't know what they were thinking. And all of a sudden, Peter realized, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come on out. And he walked on the water. Can you believe that? What an amazing thing to walk on the water. But then you say, well, Peter lacked faith, so he started to sink in the water. He took his eyes off Jesus, but he got farther than anybody else did. He got farther than I'm ever going to get in water. I've tried to walk on water before. It doesn't work. Now, I got a picture of Garrett and Connor walking on water when we were up in Canada. I got a picture to prove that they can walk on water. We stood them on a rock that was just below the surface. And I said, you guys stand there. I'm going to take a picture. I can't believe they trusted me because I got in the boat and took off. We'll see you guys tomorrow. I guess I do have a heart. I did come back and get them. Peter walked on the... But when he saw this... And oftentimes, we come to the Lord. Lord, don't you care? What's going on? What's happening? Look at this storm. And your sound is... No, he's in control. And he cares. And he can take care of the storm. The storm can go away just as quick as it came. And he got up and rebuked the wind and the water. And by the way, the two most powerful forces in our natural world is wind and water. Fire is the third one. And he's going to deliver us from the fire in the lake of hell. But the wind and the waters were subject to his will, his command. He said, peace, be still. Oh, we love to hear those words. Peace, be still. What sweet words they are. Oh, God, let me hear those words, peace, be still. But oftentimes, instead of trusting him, we're fearing the storm. And notice what happened in verse number 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Not just a calm, a great calm. I imagine it was great to them. But more than that, it was a calm. Many of these men were fishermen by trade. They're used to being in the water. They're used to the storms. And they were fearing their life. They've never been in a storm like this. And now there is not just a calm, a great calm. I have a feeling they've never been in a calm like this either. They've never seen anything like this, though they spent their life in the water. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Not that you have little faith, that you have no faith. Isn't that something? But God, I have a little faith. No, Jesus, oh, you have no faith. If you would only believe. And yet, and then in verse number 41, they feared exceedingly. Now they're afraid of something else. First, they're afraid of the storm. And by the way, they'd already been saved. They'd already witnessed a number of miracles. They'd heard him teach and preach for almost a year. They'd been following him. But now, it's starting to sink in. This man is God. That's why they started following him to begin with. As John introduced, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is the Messiah. This is the God-man. They understood it up here, but now their experience has brought them to a deeper relationship, and they know in their heart, this is God. And they said, what manner of man is this? And even the wind, the sea obeyed him. They feared exceedingly. You know how we need to learn to fear God. That doesn't mean we're afraid that we're going to lose our salvation. We live in a day today where there is no fear of God before the world's eye. And oftentimes because there's very little fear or no fear of God in man's, in Christians' eyes. And a lot of folks say, well, we're not supposed to fear. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Well, perfect love does. My love's not perfect with him. And we fear him like we reverence or respect him because he is God. And the more we realize who He is, the more we are in awe of Him or in fear of reverence and reverence of Him. They feared exceedingly. Jesus said this in Luke chapter number 12, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, that after they have nothing they can do. That's the storms of life. Don't fear those things. But I will forewarn you who you shall fear. Fear him, which after he is killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, saying to you, fear him. That's talking about God. He's the one we ought to fear. He's the one we ought to reverence. He's the one we ought to be in awe and amazement of, not the events and the circumstances of our life. What I'm saying is fear God and not the storm. Thank God He gives peace in the midst of the storm if we know Him and are walking with Him. I'm going to ask you to